You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we have got our favorite asset protection lawyer on. We've got Tom Handler. He's with Handler Thayer up in Chicago. Tom's firm is an internationally recognized firm for family office legal work. Tom, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's good to be back.
All right. Now, before we continue, I do want to say that, you know, we've been talking about international tax havens and high net worth individuals and the Panama Papers. What are some things, you know, people can do right now to mitigate their risk as we head into the end of the year? And a lot of people are on extension with taxes. They're thinking about taxes. You're a tax man. You know, what's some things that are going on right now?
Absolutely. There's actually a lot of income tax focus on the part of the client base, driven largely by the fact that we've got this 39.6 top federal rate. The capital gain rate's gone up to 23.8% because you have the Obamacare tax tossed on top of it. And although those rates don't sound that high relative to 70% rates in other countries, the reality is that it's effectively, the U.S. rates are effectively higher rates because we tax a much larger basket of income with far fewer deductions and a lot more limitations and phase-outs than other countries have. So, in fact, we are the highest tax-paying country on the planet, both individually and corporate-wise. And so, as people look at the landscape, it motivates you to realize that sometimes these taxes get confiscatory, particularly as you move up in the brackets and then you get into the high brackets relatively quickly. You don't get to the top bracket till you're at $415,000 and change. But, $91,000, you're at 25%, you know, out of the box. And, of course, you have to add on your Medicare tax, your Social Security tax, your Obamacare tax, and for employers, federal employment, state employment. So the motivation is to focus on meaningful things that can have an impact. So the simple things that people focus on are maximizing any type of executive comp and benefit planning that they can have. So you almost go by category and say, look, if you don't have an IRA, if you don't have a pension plan, if you don't have a Roth IRA, you want to make sure that you put chips in those buckets every chance you get or whenever you're below the limits and have the ability to do so, because that tax-free growth is very valuable. In the event of the Roth, you know, it comes out tax-free. So it's an extraordinary opportunity to take advantage of. There aren't that many cherries left in the U.S. tax code. They're few and far between. And so when the government says we want to encourage savings and allow people to pay for their retirement, you want to take that seriously. It's not an audited item. It's a very simple move, so you want to fill those kinds of buckets. The planning that people are doing also involves controlling their investments, you know, harvesting losses and take advantage of the losses to capture them in a given year, even if they come back and buy back in that position the following year. A lot of accelerations and deferrals for anybody on a cash basis, trying to push the income off to the following year and maximize the deductions in this year, or perhaps there's a particular year with higher income bunching deductions into that year so that you can overcome limitations and get a higher percentage of your deduction actually realized. And in fact, much of estate planning has become an income tax planning focus. It's always been a focus at the high end of the market and the high net worth individuals. But even for more regular millionaires, it's become a focus because now the basis adjustments become very important. Nobody under $10 million is going to pay estate tax, at least federally. You may be paying in a number of states, but you won't be paying federal estate tax. And so the idea is to try to maximize the income tax basis of various assets by getting the write-up in the estate and keeping those low basis assets in a position where they won't be subject to estate tax but will be written up to their full fair market value. That can avoid a tremendous amount of either capital gain or ordinary income, depending on how long those assets have been around. And so that's a very common play. And then structural planning has become important. And so having entities that aren't subject to different levels of tax. So you have a C corporation subject to both corporate taxes and then individual taxes when paid out to the shareholders. that's a problem. If you can avoid that, if you don't need to be in public market, if you don't need to be a C corporation, you may want to get out of that structure and perhaps become an S corporation. S corporation still has potential built-in gains tax, and so if you can avoid the S corporation, which also is a difficult entity to plan with for estate and financial planning purposes, you're better off in an LLC environment, a limited liability company, and there are various variations of that. There's limited liability partnerships, limited liability professional corporations, series limited liability companies. All of them function essentially the same from a tax standpoint, is that if you make the appropriate election, they're conduit entities, and they don't pay federal tax at their level. So they may pay a state tax at their level. So in effect, that business earning drills down to the owners, and only the owners are taxed on it, with the exception of states. And so that's a very effective way to build a business, have more money to invest in the business, build your net worth without running the risk of having these large built-up gains built in your S corporation, or the problem in a C corporation where you pay out retained earnings and suddenly you've got a dividend and a corporate tax. So a lot of it has to do with restructuring, reorganizing, terminating S corporations if you can do so without a tremendous tax detriment, forming new entities that are conduit, using holding company structures so that you may leave the existing enterprises as they are because the tax hit would be too high to get rid of them, and to focus on new entities as LLCs or conduits that they aren't subject to those taxes, and over time achieve greater efficiency. So a lot of that planning is going on. And this the virtual family office concept has picked up a lot of steam, and this would be for people with a high net worth, typically $25 million on up. But that entity provides the same benefits that the Rockefellers, the Kennedys, or the Pritzkers, or any major family would have, except you do it at a smaller level and outsource the various services. But you have a control enterprise, a place where you can pay benefits and legitimately deduct expenses. You can have succession planning, outside boards, full corporate governance. So it gives you all kinds of advantages along with the typical income tax benefits that any business enjoys, provided that it's, you know, ordinary, necessary, and it all makes sense. So that's pretty much what people are focusing on at this point in time, other than using investments with built-in tax goodies. And there will be things like, you know, investing in real estate and making a conservation easement to get a deduction, or investing in oil and gas because there's significant write-offs up front in that particular industry. Agribusiness also has some unique rules and a permanent 5-year net operating loss carryback, and you can stay on the cash basis, where in other businesses you'd be forced onto the accrual basis. So all of those avenues are available to people, and that's exactly what people are focused on.
Well, you know, we're really working hard. I'm getting into that whole little world myself as I'm trying to raise some money for Vivian and her kidney transplant, and raise awareness for organ donation. And I've really learned that the best way to do it is try to find a 501c3 that you can team up with and generate funds for the 501c3. We're working on doing that. There's some really innovative stuff coming out that'll allow for some good charitable contributions in that regard. So as those things come up, we'll be talking to some of our family office contacts to help them raise money for kidney awareness and indigent kidney people. So I know you and Andrew will be down on that and help us with that. Tom, there's really something going on in Chicago that I need you to comment on. Are the Cubs for real? What's going on up there? Is there something in the water?
You know, it's still early in the season, but suffice to say that people are pretty happy with the Ricketts family, the new owners. The amount of money they spent on Wrigley and renovating it, building a hotel and a large outdoor plaza across the street, expanding the decks, putting in absolutely huge billboards. They've done some things as well as build a hell of a farm organization. So I've read a number of articles that have said that in the opinion of professionals in the major leagues, the Cubs have the best farm system. And I've heard that for several years. And as we just brought somebody up yesterday for the first time, so as we're as a pinch batter. So as we're bringing up these young players, it appears that what the industry buzz had predicted is in fact the case, that we've got some real solid talent here, and the team has a commitment for winning. And I just read that we're on pace to catch or surpass the 2002, you know, Seattle Mariners team that had the best record in the history of baseball, and that would be pretty exciting. But boy, they are fun to watch. I had my Cubs cufflinks on yesterday, and people just stopped me and give me a thumbs up, and they were kind of chuckling. But we've been long-suffering fans, and it's just too much fun that that they might actually be for real. And if not this year, the talent is such that this could happen anytime in the next few years. So it's very exciting for long-suffering Cub fans.
Well, listen, Tom, we appreciate having on. We appreciate your sports updates, as always. The tax information and the family office stuff is just absolutely gold. If people want to find you or talk to you about working on their virtual family office or some of the other functions you can help them with, how do they find you, Tom?
You can reach us through our main number, which is the Chicago office, 312-641-2100. And our web is handlerthayer.com. You can find out information about us. We're in Washington, D.C., Palm Beach, Chicago, and then Oak Brook, Illinois.
Well, Tom, we'll get together on the side. I'll send you an email. We'll have Lauren set up a time for us to talk off the air. But thank you so much to you and Andrew for supporting the show and being part of our regular cast of guests. We can't thank you enough for bringing this great information here to our audience.